Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, I'm John Holmes. It's the One Show Show, and this is part two of this week's the One Show Show, the podcast that stares at TV's The One Show on your behalf and then pulls it apart like a hungry grizzly bear going through a hiker's campsite. As ever, if you haven't listened to part one of this week's episode, why not go back and do so? Otherwise, this podcast might make about as much sense as the actual One Show, which is none. My guest today, writer, critic, Julia Rayside, and regular the One Show Shower, Mark Haynes.
But the wider point about having people on who can't spoil the shows they're on, they even did it with another. They did it with another show this week, but I forget which one it was. It was that the two doctors, the brothers, the Van Tulleken brothers, who did a show about.
My! Let's talk about Planet Child.
Well, we will. But before that, they said without giving anything away, like, what did your programme conclude? It's like, do you have to get over this problem of having people on who then can't reveal anything about their shows? Yeah. Like, don't do this.
Yep.
It's awful. Again, questions they can't answer. It's
what did you make of the premise of Planet Child?
It's fucking terrifying.
Yes.
But this got you thinking because you wanted to do the experiment here in the UK. And so you decided to put it to the test. And here's the moment you told the children what you wanted them to do.
To get to the London Eye, the children must use their navigation skills to cross the central London Park, then find and board the right bus to take them to their destination, 3 miles across the capital. But there's a catch they don't yet know.
You are going to go on your own without mum and dad.
I don't want to leave.
Basically, got these tiny children. They must have been, 8 months old? In a park, sat around a bench going, right, you're going to get on a tube now on your own and your parents aren't coming.
The basic
and
they were like, thing is saying, let's make these children autonomous and independent. Let's see if they can manage it.
Because so there's examples from Japan where like a seven-year-old was on the tube every day going to school and blah, blah, blah.
Japanese culture is entirely different where people are respectful and nice. I mean, you do it in London. I mean, if you walk through London with a baby, maybe four less people will spit in your face. I
mean, but it's four fewer, you fucking idiot.
the basic premise is, can kids get from A to B on public transport?
Yeah.
And I really wanted them to come back and them go, well, can you tell us how the kids got on? And that one of those blokes had just gone, all of those children have gone missing. We don't know where any of them are.
We're still looking and we're still hopeful.
The idea of sending 4 or 5 year olds across London, they had this interactive map of where they had to go. They said, well, they're going to go from this park to the London Eye on their own and they've got to get a chance. And I'm, as a parent, I'm going, they're not. They are absolutely under no circumstances. I barely let our 7 year old go to the kitchen on her own because there are knives on the way. No fucking way. Absolutely insane.
It didn't sit easy. And again, Belle's anger did bubble up because at one point it was all just behind the facade of, you know, I'm a lively presenter. But she just said something about, yes, it still depends on your upbringing, doesn't it? And sort of, what your views are on that. And she's clearly very angry.
And also, there's no use to this, right? Mm. So if you're going to send children of that age out to do something, up a chimney,
pocketing,
something
of value.
But the thing is, they weren't on their own because, of course,
there were cameramen everywhere. Yeah. The bus was that they had to get was rigged with cameras. So clearly they're being, you know, scrutinised every step of the way. Yeah. And yeah. there are crew around.
And they know they're not on their own because they're surrounded by people.
Yeah. Every single one
so
of those
this
kids.
Experiment isn't like a useful
mobile
experiment.
They basically said to those kids, OK, we want you to get from A to B. I can't believe that the kids wouldn't just go, well, instead of that, I'm just going to go to the zoo. And, you know, so there is a certain amount of them having to sort of go, no, don't buy a load of tango.
Right?
Yeah, no, you've got to get on the bus. I just want to eat quavers. I've got £3. You know, it would just, it seemed like a sort of fictionalised piece of work. But we don't know because, as
it
you say, we can't see
experiment.
Any of it.
No.
We can't see it at all.
No.
What's the sort of lesson behind that they're trying to tell us?
I think it's just a way to scare, you know, Middle England into looking after the children better or something. I don't know.
I got the feeling that Matt was a bit scared of travelling in London.
Oh,
I think he would have thought it's all full of like drug addicts and transvestites.
He only likes the countryside.
Doesn't like it at all.
I might get my trousers dirty on public transport.
Well, you just can't have a good chat, can you?
Yeah, no, not on this fucking show.
No, because he lives in the countryside, obviously, because he does Countryfile. So the city clearly upsets and disturbs.
He was very keen to plug the ratings for Countryfile, wasn't he, to Stephen Graham?
Did he say they beat Line of Duty?
Yeah. Yeah, and Angelica Bell had to do her thing and stepping in again and just going, just shut and be quiet about this.
You stop going on about Countryfile.
I'll go to that one.
Very good.
Right.
I lived there.
Also, Countryfile Live, you've got Castle Howard.
Oh, no.
Or Blenheim Palace too.
Love a bit of Countryfile, me on a show.
Seriously, Line of Duty figures are almost up to what we get on Countryfile.
Let it go.
Anyway, you can find out more information on Carfest and get tickets at bbc.co.uk. /Pudsey.
Yeah, it's a little bit like sort of going, you know, there's more McDonald's are sold than meals at the Ritz every day. I mean, it's great. You got more ratings. Good. How many people actually actively engage with that show?
But here's Kate Thornton with some magic.
Hello, Teetossers. This is Mark. Apologies for the interruption. This is a matter of huge importance. I've been putting the clips into this episode. And when I just put this clip in, I noticed something that none of us noticed when it went out on telly. After Matt has boasted to Stephen Graham about Countryfile's ratings, everybody goes, ooh. And there's a slight pause and you can hear someone say, wanker. And it was directed to Matt. So let's have a little listen to that piece again.
Find out more information on Carfest and get tickets at bbc.co.uk/Pudsey.
And now I've isolated the bit that I think is a woman saying wanker.
Carfest and get tickets.
Wanker on the One Show. We now return you to the rest of today's excellent podcast, Wanker.
On the Michelle Gale thing as well, she brought them a gift, didn't she?
Can you give a present?
Oh, you come there and
get it. This is a Ron Weasley wand.
Oh, is that for you? Oh, Michelle, thank you very much.
And this is the Hermione wand.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my word.
Do some magic. Look, these are all part of our merchandise. They're all being carved out of wood, as you can see. And
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they're pretty special.
She brought them a wand.
Hand-carved wooden wands from
which,
the play.
And Matt said, well, I won't waft it. Just in case we drop off air.
I won't waft it yet, just in case we drop off air.
Yeah.
What?
Such is my power.
I won't waft it in case we drop off air.
If that's what the wands do, I'm buying one.
They look surprised. And that was an example of him like really just going off script and winging it because they genuinely looked quite surprised, like Kate Thornton being shown a magic trick. They were like, oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. I think Matt as well would sort of go, this seems dangerously pagan.
Yeah, perhaps.
I do not like this. I'm dabbling with the dark arts.
He knows the ways of the country. You don't take a bit of a tree and not pay the price.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. And then there was a film which I let out a genuine gasp of surprise as John Richardson in his kitchen with Lucy Beaumont.
Yep, worth saying former One Show presenter John Richardson.
Yeah, well, I had forgotten. But there he was in his kitchen with Lucy. And so it was a film
about both stand-up comedians.
Funny Mummies.
So you're going to be performing live stand-up comedy. Yeah. How did your daughter feel about it?
I have been trying out the material on her.
Have you?
Yeah, it hasn't gone down very well.
Wasn't it? It was
Funny Mummies.
It was a court, but that was a great premise.
Say
I thought,
it,
okay.
It's a lovely thing to roll
funny
around.
Funny Mummies.
Funny Mummies.
Funny Mummies. Let's play Kiss Chase. Funny Mummies.
John Holmes's Funny Mummy Kiss Chase.
Oh, what's that niche channel you were talking about? Because I'm going pitching.
Coming to Great Yarmouth Pier.
That podcast is starting next week.
But crucially, on all the mummies to have postnatal depression, just like in this film.
If they don't before, they will fucking after.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I always get a bit tetchy about things like this, which is, there's a funny thing that's just come over the last 10 years.
What, stand-up as therapy?
Stand-up as being a thing that anyone can do.
Oh, anyone could do it, Mark. It's pissing
I did look at that.
Apart from you, who quit.
I mean, if they sort of went, so these mums have got 2 months to write a fucking working opera.
I thought you might say, they've got 2 months to live, but in the meantime.
Again, I also thought, I don't think there's a great idea that you take a lot of people who are very emotionally unstable and then put them in an industry where there's only emotionally unstable people, you know, and babies. That's the other thing. Yeah. Every stand-up you'll ever meet is a big baby. The last thing you want to do. You know, she was saying a lot of her postnatal depression had come on because she felt like, you know, she wasn't doing a good enough job. I think that is the thing that a lot of new mums obviously feel, yeah. And it's not rooted in reality at all. I would say if you spend 2 months writing a stand-up gig when you've got a child, there is a certain amount of time you do have to yourself.
Yes.
And I did slightly sort of think, do you have to do stand-up? Go for a walk.
Yeah.
Go for a walk.
I don't associate it as a career with, sorry, present company included. Like, people with really high self-esteem don't need to go on stage and go, love me, no. Oh God, please love me.
No, I thought it was weird. They didn't really show any of the comedy either.
This was very telling, isn't it? Mm. I thought that because the whole premise was, these are new mums trying out stand-up.
Yeah.
But all the clips they had were just too... In fact, I wrote...
Just coming off stage.
The joke down. The joke? The sentence that they had, which was where the one they interviewed, so the main one who took part in this call...
Who seemed, by the way, absolutely delightful and funny and sparky.
Of course, they were all charming.
Yeah. Absolutely. But she... I wrote it down. She said, Mamma Mia. And that's telling your mother you've arrived.
Mamma Mia. And that's telling your mother you've arrived.
No, that joke was Lucy Beaumont.
That's even worse. That's a professional stand-up comedian.
I didn't understand. What does it mean?
In her accent, Mam Amia. She's Northern. Mamma Mia.
I just didn't get that. I even watched it three times, Jesus Christ, I was like, where's the joke there?
He's so London-centric, he can't even understand a Northern accent.
Well, if that was Lucy's joke, and she's a professional, that would explain why the others were literally two words each.
I think they sort of went...
I liked it, Lucy.
The one...
Hi, Lucy, would you like to come on the podcast? I've got a kiss waiting for you.
The one line I think they played was just a mother... saying, you're always frazzled, aren't you? And then it cut, and that was it.
Yeah,
oh,
just a
God.
Statement. I mean, it just...
Hello. Oh, this is horrible. I've done that thing where you phone up work, and you think, what can I say? And I'm a bit gripey, something I ate. And then we'll actually say something like, I've got a dicky tummy. So I'd love to stay, but I've got a dicky tummy.
I've got a dicky tummy.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was all they showed.
You weren't allowed to hear the fully formed jokes.
No, it'd be great if it had a filthy punchline. There's no way of putting it out.
By which I mean, I've got a dick.
Don't finish the thought, John.
Why did they give this to Lucy Beaumont and not you?
I don't know. I could have done it in my Birmingham-style accent. It would have been fine.
Matt said at the end of it, it's a very good way of getting over issues like that.
It's a brave way of getting over issues like that, isn't it? Now,
bless them. They're,
is
so,
it, Matt?
They're just out of the one. The qualification for doing the one show is, even if you're someone, you know, with a brain, Mel Gedroy, which I think is going to do some standing in, you know, some really smart people are doing it sometimes.
We're waiting for the call.
you play down any kind of empathy or sort of like, you know, brain power you have, and you just mustn't understand human beings or anything to do with being in the world. just pretend you're a newborn baby.
I mean, the funny thing I find about it is coming off it, I think everyone at this table could have had, you know, probably has had some experience of someone who has had postnatal depression or someone who has depression. And there's a funny thing there where they refuse to sort of go, actually, yeah, you know, I had a friend who went through exactly that, and she found the best thing was just sort of going, now that is a brilliant way to do it.
Because it's too deep,
that.
It's too, you can't reveal anything about yourself.
No.
It's just you've got to just seem out of your depth in all circumstances.
Yeah. This show ended really well, I thought, because they were doing a little piece about the, I was about to say anniversary, it's not quite the right word, 20 years since the nail bombings that happened across London against three distinct groups of minorities.
I arrived in Old Compton Street. I don't remember seeing anything inside. I then looked around the ground in front of it, and there were bits of chairs, bits of glass. Part of the blast had obliterated the front of the pub. There was a whole group of people that needed care, and I needed to take a team in and start helping those. I can still remember the emotions that I went through, the fear, the anxieties, the anger that somebody had the ability and the will to make this happen and so much suffering.
And I'd watched the little piece they put together. A couple of things really stuck out for me. I mean, it was only 20 years ago, and yet the cameras that the news crews were using at the time are worse than your phones. It looks like a million years ago.
Yeah, 20 years is a long time.
Really is. Yeah. And it was a really nicely put together piece. They talked to people who were affected by it. They showed, you know, footage of the time. And I turned to my wife at the end. I said, the nicest thing about that, I said, is they didn't at any point mention the bomber's name. And as I said the word name, it appeared on the screen saying, David Copeland was arrested for this. Like, guys, you were so close.
Yeah, it would have been great, wouldn't it?
But then they had the London Gay Men's Chorus. They sang a song, and it was...
It was really moving.
Really nice. It was great.
They can do that sometimes, can't they?
And it was a really nice way of... I just... There was a part of me that went, why isn't this how every night's telly ends? The London Gay Men's Chorus come out, they sing you a song. Because they were all so full of, like, happy, positive energy, and they sang really nicely.
And now performing one of the songs they'll be singing at the vigil outside the Admiral Duncan tomorrow. Here are the London Gay Men's Chorus with ABBA's The Way Old Friends Do.
You and I can share.
It sort of ended, and I was like, that was a really nice end. I'm like, I sort of forgot the badness that had gone before.
You didn't feel bleak like you usually do after the one show.
No, I felt hollow on the inside. Uplifted.
Great Big Owl.
What?
Great Big Owl.
Stop saying that. What about Great Big Owl?
It's a family of podcasts.
Ooh, who's in this family?
Well, there's Rule of Three, that's us.
There's Brian and Roger.
Hi, Roger, it's Brian.
There's the One Show Show.
There's nowhere else you would find a 4 or 5 minute film about pine martins.
Yes.
Without a sight of one pine martin at all in the film.
There's Barry and Angelos.
Oh, Gooch, Gooch, Chooch. Yeah. Remember that lovely one?
And there's Smirsh Pod.
Could you eat first? I think we know.
Well, I know, I don't know if I'd want to eat Lazenby.
Basically, look for Great Big Owl on your pod, what's it?
Good idea. Have we got a sting?
Owls don't sting.
Great Big Owl.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What I find fascinating about when they end on music, and they did it last week with a sort of mariachi guitar duo and everything else, the timings are impeccable, because they as presenters, you know, it's easy to mock them, isn't it? But actually, to get that timing
it's
right...
It's actually quite hard, and you have to be very good, actually, John.
is very difficult, and they but with things like the London Choir, so they rehearsed, obviously, so you know it, how long it is, but they have to hit that outro for BBC One.
Yeah.
So the presenter has to go to them at the exact second. And back timing all of that in the sort of chaos of the One Show is bloody difficult.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm
and
always
they must
impressed
have people
when
rabbiting
it,
in their
yeah,
ears.
Yeah, when they end it right on time, like that, right to the last note.
But that's why they keep it shallow. You can't follow a train of thought if you're a One Show presenter. You must just hop from one thing to the next.
Yeah, and even when Angelica Bell tries to say something that's not in script, it soon gets shut down.
There was one proper clanger that they did, and it was on Wednesday's show, and it was a proper handbrake turn. They had Alex Horn and Greg Davis were on the Vicky McClure show, and they were talking about Taskmaster, and they were talking at one point about Alex Horn's father was a bird watcher, and Alex Horn was doing some sort of hilarious non-good bird noises. So Greg Davis basically said, Alex can do any bird noise, so do you want to name one? And Matt was straight in there like, willow wobbler? And Alex went, yeah, I can do that. Like that. And, we all laughed, and so then Matt was going cuckoo, and he was going parrot, and it faded out and went into a video about a man who had saved a woman from a burning building. But again, if he was sitting at home going, they've made this film about me, but the best moment in my life where I was given a medal by the fire brigade who turned me down when I was a young man because I saved a woman's life, how does it build up to it? Crow.
But first, some real life drama. Here's the story of one man who put his life on the line, and it wasn't in the line of duty.
Cuckoo.
As soon as that door shut, it was just pitch black with smoke. All I could hear, the woman screaming, was just like scream, scream, scream.
Matt, by the way, loves a parrot.
He does
I learned
love
that this
parrot.
Week. He does love a parrot.
So he likes magic at weddings and a parrot.
Yeah, he likes it.
I wonder which parrot it is that he likes.
It was this in the worst call out for a show? So they do these call outs at the beginning.
Is this the line of duty call out? Because that was the worst one.
I have never seen anything like it.
It's amazing.
So they do a call, you know, send us your pictures of whatever, right? And this one was,
have you ever shot a collie?
Well, it was just, the call out was, because if you watch Line of Duty, the mystery is who is playing H?
Yeah.
Right?
It's or, the who shot JR
or H, as everyone insists on saying. Yeah. So who's playing H? And they turned the camera and just went, oh, that's a call out. Who is your H?
What?
And
what?
And everyone's asking who
and everyone
is
goes,
H?
What? And then he explains it. He said, it could be your husband, Harry. Could be a hamster.
Like a
could even be a hairdryer. You're just asking people to send pictures of things beginning with H.
Are you doing a psychic show? We can all join in with
Who's H? That's the question again.
Yeah.
Who's H? Who's H?
Well,
that's actually our call out this evening.
That's a good question. Who
we
is
thought
H?
About this?
Who do you reckon H is?
It's a massive part of the storyline right now. So we are asking you tonight. Who is your H?
Yeah, it could be your husband, Harry. It could be hamster, Hammy. Could even be a hairdryer. If it begins with H and it's made a difference in your life, then please send us a picture and tell us the reasons why to the usual places. You've mentioned Hannah, so she is your H.
Is my H, yes. Very nice. That was smooth, that one.
It was incredible. God. It was quite astonishing.
But
and they always run out of time, and they always insist on printing them out, sticking them on cardboard and holding them
in
up.
In a red frame.
Why?
Red frame. We talked about this last week, and we're all deciding if... In your life, generally, now, we should all refer to moments that you want to treasure forever as your red frame moment.
Yes.
Very good.
That was Tom Price's idea.
Very good.
That's nice.
They did on Wednesday, Greg Davis and Alex Horn set the call out, which was, do you have a flamboyant clock?
Okay, that's brilliant.
And it was. And the clocks that came in were appalling and funny. And it was...
Did you say clock? We got all these dick pics.
But that one is flamboyant.
We have to hold them up.
Also, Alex, we have a task that you would like to introduce to our audience. breakfast tonight?
Yes, I would.
What would you like?
Well, in our show, we ask the contestants to bring in some of their own possessions as the prize, because that way we don't have to pay for the prizes, don't we?
Greg? That's right, that means
save on the budget.
Free.
Yeah, a lot cheaper. So it's things like most 80s item or most surprising thing from your bathroom or worst present from a named relative, most flamboyant clock, that sort of thing. So we want the one shower viewers. Is it one shower? It is, isn't it?
Wait,
the one shower.
Were they known as one showers? Anyone who watched?
I've made a mistake. I made a little mistake.
But you really doubled down on the mistake, though.
Yeah. Are you
good boy? Come on, very good boy. Very good boy.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we like the sound of the most flamboyant clock.
OK.
Yeah. I think one showers would all have a flamboyant clock.
I think you want to call it a clocker.
I do.
The thing about that is you have some guests come in for one show that they probably sort of like, you know, arrived the hour before, and they do a better call out than 16 people on a team have managed in a year. Really simple, and it really worked.
We haven't even talked about the best bit of the whole week, which is when, who is that poor guy Justin they send out on, like, you know, the roving reporter guy?
Oh, poor Justin, yeah.
And
he came
and did a bit about something. I've already forgotten what it is. I only saw it moments ago. And then they said, oh, and we'll see you later. And Matt kind of did a little knowing chuckle. And then sure enough, they brought him back to talk about, to list some festivals you might like to go to in the coming summer if you're with
That's
your family.
Right. Yeah.
And they made him dress up as like someone who'd just fallen out of the hacienda in like 1989. Like that little flowery like mank hat and a kind of wellies and a parka.
But just over just what exactly what he'd been wearing before. And you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
Because that said festival, apparently, just to put him in a, you know, it, and they just, they bully the shit out of him. I can't remember, he said something and Angelica, I know he pronounced something. Oh no, that's right. He was sitting next to Charlene's Spiteri. She had talked about her awful festival where rich people bring their cars and rev their engines at each other, but it makes money for children needs, so whatever. And they didn't mention Chris Evans when they showed the little VT of that, because they can't now, because he's left.
That was really noticeable.
And Carfest is his thing.
Yeah.
And but they didn't even mention
it. It's still
him.
Going on because of Children Need, right?
Yeah.
And Chris has left Radio 2 and
so
all the rest of it.
It's such a hard thing to promote when they couldn't mention
but
him.
But she mentioned him.
Yeah.
And they deliberately skirted around
it. Oh, yeah. He's dead to us now.
She said something like,
Chris couldn't speak last year. Yeah.
He was so moved by the Children for Children in Need. Chris couldn't speak. Chris who?
And of course, the good thing is that 50% of the profits are going to Children in Need.
Wow. Well, do you know what? Last year, we always have lots of people come on and like the families talk about what the money's done for their children and how it's helped the families. It's just absolutely fantastic what, you know, to see that, and it gets really emotional as well. You know, you've been there. It's like it gets really emotional. Chris couldn't speak last year.
Yeah,
I had to talk to the family because he was literally like welling up. Yeah. And it's good because it's done with a lot of love from everybody, from all the bands, or everyone that takes part in it. It's amazing. It's really good.
Yeah. Well, Carfest sounds like it's going to be another vintage year. Yeah.
But then,
there was a clip of him. You're right.
He was in the VT. Quickly, move on.
Yeah.
But so they talked about the festivals thing. Poor old Justin comes on, his fucking idiotic wardrobe decision. And he pronounces a town in Scotland as Moffat.
Yes.
And Charlene goes, Moffat, Moffat, and corrects him.
How about the Eden Festival up in Scotland near Moffat? That's the 6th to the 9th of June. How do you pronounce it?
Moffat.
Moffat. Corrected. I stand corrected. I won't be getting that.
And like, then everyone's just fucking bullying him. Yeah. Dress in these clothes, you scumbag. Say that word again so we can all laugh. He's like, dude, what did he do to them? Like, he's
Justin,
such a nice guy.
If I may stop you there, stand up because I'm going to punch you in the belly.
I want to see what they do to him next week. It's like, God, you really, there's a campaign of bullying.
The film he was presenting, wasn't it about renting white goods for your kitchen?
Oh, that was fascinating. Someone over and over again explaining the difference between renting and purchasing.
Yeah.
And the way, it was amazing.
This was another handbrake turn for me because they came out of talking about Stephen Graham's new Channel 4 drama, which is a Shane Meadows thing.
Gotcha.
So, you know, hard-hitting subject. So they were talking about what it was about and they said, you know, so it's alcoholism. It deals with the alcoholism and the loss of a child. Anyway, here's Justin with a way of fitting out your kitchen with appliances in a way that most people thought had been disposed of decades ago.
That's their thing of going, put something in. And if you type in, like, dead child, it brings up discarded fridge.
It was nuts.
And then you sort of go, right, put that one in.
And also it was weirdly, because they talked to the owner of one of these companies and slightly held her to task about how when you've paid £2 a week for your washing machine, it ends up costing you twice as much or whatever. And then they interviewed two kind of sample families households who'd signed up to this company, who did this weird kind of advertorial for how it's changed their lives and put a massive smile on my face. Oh, I mean, washing machines, but a huge smile on my face. Like, this is weird. There's no one, like, you're not interviewing anyone who said, I got into terrible debt.
It was a commercial for that company.
Very weird.
If you're watching The One Show and you are struggling with your income, as you know, we've talked about this before, a lot of The One Show's demographic are people on low incomes. That's how it works.
Yeah.
And that's who they're aiming at. So it literally was saying to them, so why don't you do this and get in touch with this company?
They did exactly that on the Wednesday show, where they had a big piece about salmon farming. And
of course,
again,
it's an issue. It's important.
I don't own a million salmon. I don't know many people who own a million salmon.
How many have you got?
I don't know. I've got none. I don't know anyone who has a tank that is the same size as three Olympic swimming pools that they're wondering what to do with it. Well, there's a new salmon thing, and they go and do this for 15 minutes. And there's lots of criticism of farmed salmon. And the reason is you get lice infestation, they get into the wild, and they've decimated Britain's salmon population. Now, they had one person on this video where they went to this salmon farm who's revolutionising it. He had a thing called a fish pump. They said, we get the little fish out, we're using a fish pump, and then they go into this big pool. The fish pump is a plastic tube that the fish were just being sucked down, right?
Oh my God.
Calling it a fish pump
Hoover.
It was like a fish Hoover. It was exactly like a fish Hoover. And the fish were all like twisting round and they were smashed up together. And everyone was like going, look at how great this is. If you'd have done that with dogs, you'd have been in prison for 10 years, right? Fish, fuck them.
I can't believe we haven't had a John Holmes' fish Hoover joke yet. I'm sitting here waiting for it. Nothing.
Now, they had one bloke on.
I've changed.
Within,
you so have, John. Well done.
Within this piece, they had one bloke appear in the middle for 20 seconds. So they go, this is brilliant. It's revolutionised the industry. This is a great way to get cheap salmon. Cut to a guy and he said, well, it sounds good, doesn't it? But it's not actually very good.
It's ultimately a business. And the way they make a profit is by cramming as many salmon together in these tanks as possible, where they literally spend their lives swimming around in endless circles.
Sean believes the whole industry has a serious sustainability problem.
Salmon are carnivorous fish. They eat other fish. And so what we're seeing is that the oceans are being fished empty of smaller fish. They're being ground up and then fed to factory farm salmon. And if we carry on at the rate we are, literally the oceans are going to be fished empty by 2050.
But Tuwei is adamant he's making fish farming more sustainable.
The ocean will be empty in 2015.
Whoa!
They then went back to do another 5 minutes where this farm was going, isn't it great? Isn't it brilliant? They cut back to the studio. They've got some salmon that
Alexander Graham Bell.
Bell has produced. And they all sit there eating it going, nummy, nummy, nummy. And this bloke is like a ghost.
They're extinct.
Does anyone else remember that bloke saying the ocean would be empty in literally 30 years?
He's just standing behind them in like a sou'wester, shaking his head.
This is only £16 a kilo. Num, num, num.
Well, Joey's here and he's brought along some of the indoor produced salmon from that very plant in Denmark to try. And thankfully, we've got a chef here.
I know. Is that the only reason why you want me here on the sofa?
Yeah, well, you did a cheesecake yesterday, didn't you? You prepared the salmon tonight. So what have you done with this then?
So just pan fried it slightly, you know, bit of seasoning because I wanted to keep the freshness of the fish in it so you could taste it. And we're going to just add a bit of lemon and see what you think.
Have you all lost your fucking mind? Thankfully, we did have an eco piece, which was McDonald's paper straws.
Oh my God.
And they went out and everybody...
It's the cows that are killing the planet, not the straws, you dicks.
And this one, everyone was slagging off the paper straws. So they had Vox Pops in Chapel Market in Islington.
Yeah.
And there were a woman, I wrote down what she said.
What do you think about McDonald's and big companies telling us how to behave?
I don't think it's their right, to be fair. I think people are entitled to their own rights, what they want to do, and if they want to use plastic straws, they can use plastic straws. If they want to use paper straws, they can use paper straws. I think there should be an option, at least.
Since they've come out, I take the cap off and drink it out of the cup now.
Whoever made this a rule, you are stupid, because it's the dumbest thing ever.
This is someone in London. I can't believe that, Mark.
It comes back to an expert who says McDonald's just haven't explained themselves to the customer at all well. They use 1.8 million plastic straws a day, and everyone is moaning, they're not paper straw.
Oh, my God.
Fuck off.
I don't want to share the planet with these people.
McDonald's,
get rid of them.
McDonald's should have said something to me. Fuck off. Sorry, are you the chairman of McDonald's? No? Then pipe the fuck down. If McDonald's want to shut all their restaurants for good from tomorrow, what are you going to do about it? You're going to have a cry? It's up to them. They're giving you a paper straw.
Jesus.
Stop crying. So it was a really weird thing of going, salmon, oh, it's terrible, apparently. No, it's great. McDonald's, paper straw, cutting down on single-use plastic. Fucking shit.
Well, because they're
What's going on?
The BBC, they're not allowed to have a clear stance on anything, are they? So they just have to be a bit vague and confused about absolutely everything.
One thing I did notice, a few weeks ago, they did a big thing about opening your own Subway franchise, where they were like, you know...
With a salmon farm out the back.
Guys, leave your jobs because you want to open up a Subway franchise. They were huge on it.
Yeah.
In the back of the McDonald's shop in Chapel Market, they had a prominent Subway sign.
How can they work with all these brands? I thought they were here, like, strict laws.
Everyone was slagging off McDonald's. But in the background, there's a Subway sign. And they're going, yeah, McDonald's are really this, McDonald's are really that. If you are a cameraman, one of the basic things you're going to do when you work for the BBC is not do a shot that has advertising in the background.
Yeah, they all know how to do that.
I'm not saying it's dodgy. I'm not saying that the BBC head honchos are sitting there with their meatball marinaras smeared all over their greedy pig faces. I am not saying that. I'm saying it seems unusual that Subway was prominently displayed when they were going, isn't McDonald's shit?
Wow.
Weird.
It's all part of the subliminal Kate Thornton in the background magic tricks, you see. It's all part of the same thing. There was an odd bit, because I've not seen Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, okay? Mm. So I didn't know what
Neither
the plot was.
Neither have I.
No idea. But then there was a photograph, because apparently it's when, I think she said it's when Harry, Hermione and Ron are in their 40s.
Yeah, they've got kids.
And have children. And I was thinking, that is a threesome I did not see coming. Although, you know,
they're a modern blended family, John.
Threesome, be honest.
You are so pleased with yourself for that.
It's because when I picture it in my head, it's also got the word anus at the end, which is sort of an added little frisson to that joke.
And all the best words have. But then Michelle Gale said, well, that's it, you see, for things have moved on. I was like, yes, Hermione's black now. And then her own child, she was calling her own child, saying, are you as clever as the real Hermione?
Yeah.
And stuff, at her. She said, that was funny with my child. And then Belle asked the same question.
Yeah,
I know.
She had the same answer twice.
I'm telling you, she's not listening. She wants it too much. She's not listening. She's got to calm down. Just take it down a few notches.
But my seven-year-old is Harry Potter mad. He had to go to book day as Ron Weasley. Oh. I mean, he's Harry Potter mad. So he said to me, I'm going to play Hermione, I told him. He went, are you as clever as Hermione, Mum? Cheeky little thing. So I'm very clever.
So he has his own image of what Hermione is like. And is
he loves Hermione. He knows everything about her. So he knows that she's super clever. So he's like, are you quite that clever, Mum, though? Are you as clever as Hermione?
But she also did this sort of weird misstep, because that was, I remember it being quite big news at the time when the play hit the West End. They cast a black Hermione for the first run of the show, and it was like a big sort of, you know, actually we're doing colourblind casting, it doesn't fucking matter, great. And then obviously clearly they sort of done it again. But Angelica Bell, she appeared to try to ask and then step round the question, and did you have any idea about what the character should look like?
That's right, that's
like,
exactly
just say it.
Yeah.
Just say it.
It's fine. That's the point, isn't it? Yeah. That's the point.
It is worth saying, all those people who sort of go, well, why is a black actress playing, or a black actor, in fact, I mean, let's get it bang on. Why is a black actor playing the role of Hermione? You want to say, have you seen fucking Harry Potter, right? There's a flying car,
Mom,
and they're on broomsticks. I mean, I shouldn't worry too much about, you know, whether she comes from this part of Earth or that part of Earth. There's literally a dragon that comes out of an egg.
I remember reading, I think, the first two pages of a Harry Potter book and dismissing it as rubbish and for children. But I'm fairly sure the ethnicity of Hermione's never mentioned at all anyway, is it? So it's in your own head.
The casting you should be angry about is that girl who's in the films. She's the wrong one.
Emma Watson.
Yeah.
She got better as she got older.
I mean, it would have been hard not to.
And bloody Daniel Radcliffe couldn't act at all when he started. Absolutely
always
shocking.
Reminds me in the early ones of Tony Blair. He's like a miniaturised Tony Blair.
The intonation's really similar.
Very keen to do some magic. Invadio Arrakis. That is a go-to for me now. That is a good go-to.
Surely Invadi Uranus. Arrakis. Invade Uranus is what I'm saying.
I'm just going to go and put the kettle on. You carry on.
Are you sure you don't want to play Kiss Chase?
In a minute.
Okay, good. It was, I mean, we are scooting about all over the place here, but I realise, but Was it Thursday, the Charlene Spiteri episode?
Oh, yeah.
Matt mentioned the rickshaw challenge again.
Oh, here we go.
I know.
And she did arrive in a supercar.
A McLaren.
Anyway, now Hardy, one sure viewers will remember our rickshaw challenge, and maybe that McLaren, the supercar manufacturers, designed our last rickshaw. There was the reveal. Oh.
Yes, well, they've been at it again. Take a look at this, one of the world's fastest supercars.
That's not a rickshaw, by the way.
No, it isn't. A Papaya 720S pudsied up, and in it, a guest all the way from Texas.
So which, McLaren, again, they can't decide whether they want to pollute the planet, save the planet,
I was confused about that, because they're saying, and here she is. Now, that is an unnecessary journey. If ever I saw an unnecessary journey, it's a McLaren F1 trundling around the corner of the One Show Piazza with Charlene Spiteri in it, just because the McLaren made the One Show rickshaw, didn't they? Do you remember? And now there's a McLaren.
And what are you seeing there on the BBC? What is that, if not some kind of weird commercial partnership?
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah, well, exactly that. And of course, it was for Carfest, and that we've already talked about.
With Chris Evans doing this Carfest thing and Charlene Spiteri in it, do you know if it's taking place in 1996? What was she talking about?
The car was a DeLorean.
Why was she on Charlene Spiteri? What's she done?
Because she's playing Carfest with Texas, her soporific band.
Now, those are the words I use myself.
I mean, she seems so lovely, but fuck me.
Yeah.
Just so boring. There's always an undercurrent as well of, like, it was the same with the kids from Fame. Everyone's, you know, there's got to be but we're doing it for the kids. We're doing it for the little kiddies.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, and everyone gets emotional and talks about the charities and stuff. It's like, yeah, fine, okay, whatever. But it really, you're just a bunch of people in big cars.
Yeah.
And I remember listening to, it was unlistenable, the Chris Evans Breakfast Show every year when he would just do, like, endless shows
the
about
worst
Carfest.
Show of the year.
And it was just millionaires ringing, going, I'm 3 million for a go in that one with the famous woman with the tits.
Yeah.
Like, I can't listen to any more revving engines or people flopping money onto tape.
He's had horrible. Now he's gone to Virgin, Chris. He's had to change tack on his festival. So
really?
He's got a new festival.
Oh, he has?
Yeah, because, I'm not saying that he personally gained anything out of it.
Of course not. That would be ridiculous.
No, what a notion of even, you know, using it not to pay tax. But but now he's got a new festival called Run Fest or something, which is the same thing, but he's stolen the idea of Park Run and turned that into a music festival. So it's a running festival.
Because he does
running
the marathon,
and food
that,
festival
he?
For
yeah,
the family.
Yeah, yeah.
So, sorry, you go running
at a festival?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, it's like the Park Run thing.
We're all going to sign up for that.
I could be less interested in going to either festivals or running. Sorry, but congratulations.
Sorry, fewer interested.
Hey!
Fuck off, Yarmus!
Fuck off your anus. That's it. We'll be back next week. Please do rate, review and tell your friends about this podcast. We do only accept 5-star ratings and glowing reviews. Anything else, we simply pass on to some shite off BBC Sounds. Remember, no green sofas are kept in this podcast overnight. But while you're remembering that, also remember this. And remember it well. When you look at the television to look at the One Show, the One Show also looks back into you. Goodbye. Hello, I'm John Holmes. It's the...
please welcome radio professional John Holmes.
You heard of Great Big Owl?
Yes, they make this podcast.
Yeah, but not just this podcast.
You're shitting me. Name some others.
Well, there's Trolled.
We had Luciana Berger and Gary Lineker coming on.
Oh, yeah, and there's Crime Club.
Did you get done for that?
Yeah.
There's The Fear.
It's a kid's show. They really, really scared me.
There's Always There.
Thanks very much, because I would never have gone down Howard's way had you not asked me.
There's Friends with Friends.
Shoving a funnel in Joey's mouth and Rachel pours fat down.
And there's Ask the Nincompoops.
Kids ask us the questions they want answered.
That's for kids. We shouldn't have sworn earlier.
Bollocks.
Quick, play the sting.